Good afternoon, everybody. This is Barb Pello, Group Director at InfoTrends, and I'm going to be your moderator for today's webinar. Many of marketers are taking advantage of variable data publishing as a highly effective marketing mechanism to deliver proven results and the kind that they're actually looking for. Variable data also represents an important value-added service that print service providers can leverage to differentiate themselves in the marketplace and increase value for both their customers and end users. This webinar is about variable data and doing it right, and we're going to be discussing specific examples of how commercial and in-plant printers engaged marketing departments to deliver the right message to the right customer at the right time. Before we get started, what I would like to do is just give you a couple of technical tips for enjoying the webinar. First of all, if you're having any technical difficulties, let us know by using the Ask a Question box, or you can troubleshoot by clicking the Help button below. Please make sure that you've disabled pop-up blockers. You can get a PDF version of this presentation by clicking on the Download Slides button. And if you like what you're seeing or you're hearing, you can tell your peers by using the Invite a Colleague button, or you can let us know by clicking the Survey button and sending your feedback. Now, I'll be taking questions throughout the course of the webinar and passing them on to the panelists. To ask your questions, all you have to do is use the Ask a Question box. And finally, you can view this event on demand for the next 90 days. What I'm going to do during the course of the webinar is, first of all, open it up with just a brief introduction about some of the requirements that we see as essential for success in delivering a variable data program. And then you're going to hear from three practitioners that are really making variable data work. Todd Callagher is the president and partner of Finley Printing. Kirk Larson is the partner of Graphic Partners. And Craig Fallon is the chief executive optimizer of Gateway Digital Press. We'll wrap up with recommendations and conclusions. And then you can ask, again, during the course of the webinar, any questions that you want each of the respective panelists to answer. Let me start by just saying that there are a set of criteria that are essential for successful marketing campaigns. Basically, all of them need to be relevant, engaging, they need to use cross-media effectively, and they need to be measurable. And what we're seeing, and what you'll hear from the service providers that are online today, is that regardless of the tools used or the delivery channel, every good variable data and marketing campaign is backed with a strategy, a quality data source, an attractive and appealing offer, a call to action, good creative, and measurement metrics. When you think about the actual marketing strategy, what that starts with is what we call a campaign brief. And typically what that means is that you're going to have a document where you agree with the customer on the strategy behind the campaign. It's understood prior to the development of the campaign. It starts with an assessment of what information is available in the data source. Is there a strategy that coherently defines the target markets? Do you have the goals well set out that you want to achieve with that campaign? And literally anything required to implement that campaign should be outlined in some form of a brief. The next piece you've got to do is you've got to make sure that you've got good data. And a quality data source may be something that's available internally, or it might be something where you need to augment that data with external lists. Most campaigns start with trying to use the customer's data and then augmenting it with other information from a variety of sources ranging from USA data to AccuData to any number of other lists. What we found when you take a look at marketers is that 94% of marketers that were surveyed in a study by the Aberdeen Group agreed that personalized marketing would result in better performance. The challenge was that only 16% of them were actually executing one-to-one direct marketing campaigns. Their excuse, or the fundamental reason for the low level of implementation, they indicated was lack of data. I will tell you that in today's market, that's actually a pretty lame excuse because everybody has some level of data on their existing customers, even if it's stored in a shoebox. The next piece that you've got to do is you've got to make sure that you've got that strategy well entrenched in terms of identifying who your target is, segmenting your data, and then understanding what message you want to get across. You also need to make sure that when your client's building out a campaign, that there's an offer that the recipient really resonates with. It's got to be able to be something that they associate value with. It could be a gift certificate, a free sample, an in-store discount, a buy one, get one free. And it's got to have a clearly identified call to action, a toll-free number, a fax, how to text back in, a personalized URL. And then finally, you want to make sure that you get that campaign noticed. And what that takes is good creative. We see an array of different options and alternatives ranging from postcards with variable imaging all the way through to people starting to build out three-dimensional direct mailers. And last but not least, you have to make sure that you're doing a great job at measuring that campaign. You want to make sure that you're measuring and monitoring it real time and giving that customer feedback relative to the success of the campaign and what could be done to make it more effective. I think the big message is that when we look at marketing and we look at it 2011 style, personalization, and you'll hear this from our panelists, has gone beyond greetings and salutations. What you're really looking for is targeted marketing that includes some personalized copy, creative, unique channels and timing decisions based on each individual's situation. So over the next several minutes, you'll hear again from our panelists about the strategies that they're deploying. The first panelist that I'm delighted to introduce is Todd Gallagher, and Todd's been in the variable data game for quite a while. He's the president and partner of Finley Printing. So with that, I'm going to turn over to Todd. Todd, take it away.
Thanks, Barb. Good afternoon, everybody. I hope everybody's having a wonderful new year as we kick off 2011. I appreciated the thought process behind this webinar for a lot of different reasons. I mean, as we all realize, having the same sets of tools, you'll hear a lot of us talking today, we've all tackled this in a different mindset, and we have different customers. So as we go this, let me give you a little bit of Finley's background. Finley's background, a long-time business, 135 years old this year. We're very excited about what the market has in store for us. It's a little bit of a up-and-down market. We're positioned in Connecticut, so we're right between Boston and New York, and we love that rivalry going both ways. But our market has always been in the high-end, very ultra-high color standpoint, and we've always kind of centered around color as a key component to our business. That led us down naturally to the indigo format. So in 2002, we looked at going to the indigo market, and it was a great fit for us. You know, the types of businesses that we look at, all sorts of, from corporate and financial, consumer products, there's always a designer in some form or fashion with every project that we get involved in, and we embrace that. So we are looking for somebody that has that wants just something special about every single piece. If it's a piece of color, a poster, a direct mail piece, wide format, it may mean to be positioned where everything is delivered in tissue paper and wrapped like presents. So we are looking for that designer as a part of the componentry, but also gives us insight of the creative process. So it brings us into a wide variety of products that we produce, anywhere from catalogs, as you see the list, all the way down through, you know, product on demand, POD operations, and then naturally going right into campaign management and cross media. So some of the things that we have really enjoyed in looking at this is, you know, transforming our business. So we were really understanding what the print market was for well over 100 years, but as the color market came into play and we looked at things like adding in asset management, looking at high-end technical fulfillment, looking at data repository work, and that kind of led us down into the variable market. You know, the programs and the complementary programs that we're always looking kind of centralize around print in some form or fashion. But what the value-added services come into play for us is really looking at how do we add value to every single customer? How do we solve a business interest? How do we look at from a you know, we all did solution selling for so long, now it's really provocational selling. So what are we really trying to get done? So having a series of services, and the list is long, and adding more in every year, what we've always tried to do is put the customer in the center and look at how the things that we can do to centralize around the customer, because we know where there's customers, where there's a good fit. We know there's always an operation where we can help, you know, streamline a process and kind of bring that along to help not only their business, but, you know, to grow their business, because we're never really just in the print business. So some of the things that we've always done, looking at, you know, some of the componentries that we have in place, is really bring in a team atmosphere. One of the things that we did, you know, moving into this in 2002 was understand how our team, as you can see, we have a team sheet there that I created when I was on the phone with Barb. We like introducing our players. We always want to have, so every single customer that we work with gets what's basically a personalized team sheet for their company. So we naturally post this. It's online. It's a simple service. Well, some of the things that we really want to be able to get across by doing this is look at what's transforming the data relationship today. And I think what people are understanding in a lot of cases is that what Barb was saying earlier is not everybody really understands what data they do have. And a lot of times they say, well, we don't know that much. And you need to walk them through the process of understanding that. You know, not everybody has a clear CRM system. Sometimes they're in two different parts, and you have to piece them back together to help them get that list. So, but as we go through this, one of the things that Barb asks is, well, how great are the lists that you get? Well, honestly, we've never gotten a list that we didn't need to help in some form or fashion. Add a field, create a different database, create a table off that list, be able to add into that list, clean the list. There's always some data cleansing that needs to go on. Not different than mailing, but in this, it really makes a huge difference of understanding where a campaign's going to wind up in 6 months from now in the beginning versus just starting off and see, let's see where we go. It's not flat mailing. And I think that's where a lot of the process comes into place, but if we're not killing the customer with service, you know, we don't have a chance in the competitive marketplace, because then I think you're trying to do that same as routine. So as we go through this, you know, our market focus has always been on major brands, somebody that has a look. You know, it's not just a logo. They have a thematical system that they want in the marketplace. And they need not only to generate, you know, consciousness of that, but they also need to create a brand awareness and really association or loyalty to that brand. And that's where, from a lot of our standpoint, we see from a web-to-print marketplace where we can not only enable people in the field, as you'll see from our first conversation, but we've also got to be able to give something where, you know, within a thematical theme for creative services, the marketing componentry of a business, how do they really get across that? I know that that's our brand, and not have it just chopped up and used incorrectly. So that's where a lot of the simple businesses come into place, where we can, in a simple storefront thinking thought process, go from not only producing stationery, but all the way going down to ordering email blasts all through one shopping cart environment. That was it was incredibly important for us for the types of businesses that we want to do this with. So in our variable component programs, it's interesting is each customer needs something different. No two for us are ever the same, and I hope they're not going to be the same. We're not selling a package. We're listening and changing the package as it goes. So I want to introduce the first customer experience.
Pat, before you do that, I have a couple questions for you.
Yeah.
And one of them is, what variable data software do you use? And I know that you've had a number of different implementations. Can you give the audience a bit of a perspective on the range of cost for variable data software, and give a little perspective on what you use, and then the price ranges of variable data software you've looked at.
Sure. I mean, and I think that's the reality of how do you get in, and then where do you go once you get in. And I don't know anybody that's really bought one thing, stayed with it through the entire life cycle, and are still using it today as they grow their business. You know, we had started with some homegrown applications based out of FileMaker, and this goes back 15 years ago, and how we were doing that. Well, FileMaker is a $800 product. So as you go through it, yes, we had printable. Wonderful. So to change into a storefront and introduce those. Where we are today, we're in a program, XMPie, which we use also in contingency with our ProMail warehouse database system. So we have the ability to roll out stores in a matter of hours for a customer, implement not only the fulfillment side, but the cost difference, you know, is, you know, the XMPie side of things can be up to $250,000. So it's a massive system. It's very intricate. It does a lot of things very interesting because it's email, it's pearls, it's girls, it's variable imaging, along with the capability of doing all the mailing componentry, all the things that you want to be able to add into that. Templating is run out of an Adobe server, so it's very simple for high-end designers to plug into and say, I'm using my own products in Illustrator, Photoshop, and naturally in design. So that's where we wound up going, and I think that's where we'll be for quite some time. But I do think that those steps along the way, you know, as everybody asks, well, how'd you get there? Well, we kind of, at one point, you know, and I coined this, you know, we had a three-ring circus with, you know, something on our storefront side, something doing our email side, and something doing, you know, checking out on the Pearl side and trying to tie them together. It was very difficult for us from an internal standpoint to support it, but also made it complicated when we were trying to do some sort of analysis with return on investment. You know, because ultimately it's not the cost per page, but it's the cost per lead that what does it really cost me to get there. And when you lower that, that's when you get to that real big conversation with customers. Did I answer your question, Barb, you think?
Yeah. And what I think you're really saying to the audience, and I just want to recap it, is that there's an array of different tools out there. You can get into the market with a low-cost tool, whether it's FileMaker Pro or PrintShop Mail, and then you move up that ladder as your business expands.
And I think you have to plan on that. I think that's a fair statement. I think everybody here will say, you know, they're using one or two or five different things all at one time. And you may have, and that expands your tool chest of being able to understand how to solve a problem. And we still go back to some of the other applications, you know, when we have a different set of data or we're trying to stream something differently. Because in today's world, there's no standardization in data. So you get what you get, and you have to figure it out as you go. And, you know, every day is an interesting situation. So I don't
Great. Thanks, Todd. That's perfect.
Not a problem. So the first customer I wanted to share is a little bit from a distributor standpoint. So we do a tremendous amount of work with Yankee Candle, but they also have another 8,000 wholesale local area stores that want to order additional collateral. And it could be banners, signs, postcards. They could upload a local list, and it may be a list of 100 different people, right down to ordering email blasts or something like that for a local store. So what we were able to do to create is basically a store shopping front that allowed them to go in and say, I need one sign. Now this is all to a very small quantity. You know, if somebody ordered 10 of something, that would be a lot. Think of the application. There's a lot of stores, but they only need onesie, twosie. So we were able to, working with this, so this may come off of a wide format device. It may go right off to almost a copier-like device. It goes shoots out naturally. All the film stuff goes to the Indigo. Anything of quantity from our standpoint, we're an HP Indigo shop, so that's where we go with things. But I think what it allowed us to do is solve a huge problem of not having to push all this material out there and have, you know, in the POS industry, about 50% doesn't get used. Now everything, if we're producing one for somebody, we know that's going up in a store. It was a very eye-opening experience to walk through to meet a lot of these store owners because they're doing it after hours. They're doing that. So we were able to automate this whole process. So we're really, the only thing we're really doing is packing them out in the end. It really was pretty slick application for them. But what happens, though, is there also may be products in this that they're ordering new customer kits and things. So actually, in the end, this becomes kind of a community of people that they can tie in from their database. They can go directly in. They can have the customer service group from Yankee Candle go in and take this information, and then they can order it and have it shipped out. It's very, very simple, straightforward in the end, successful, but it's actually helping them support what they're trying to do, which is, you know, you're in a store with a lot of different products that you're trying to get a little bit more space than somebody else, and they're giving them the avenue to get that. So, and
right.
that The second thought process that I wanted to share, with almost on an opposite side of the spectrum, more of a cross-media campaign. So we have a local AHL team that went through a name change here. So it used to be the Whalers years ago. That was it left. It came back. We got what's called the Wolfpack, and now what's called now the Connecticut Whale. Well, as they became a newly owned and they changed ownership, but they also lost their database capability because it went with the previous ownership. So as they were trying to gain opportunity, they wanted to say, hey, I need to create a very quick database of who's who, what's what, and they had an upcoming event that they needed to kind of support. So as what we were able to do is working with all of the sponsorships that were becoming around is taking mail blasts, lists, force them through, and in a short period of time, we're outputting about 500,000 emails, through our system that we were actually tracking, giving them all the proper information coming back to them, but also giving them the ability to log on and what we would call refer a friend. That allows somebody to go into a Pearl looking for more information about an event, order some collateral material, order sponsorship kits, or even just order, typical tchotchke-type materials that they want to say, I'm a new fan, because they had a new look and feel. So as they went through this in this variable campaign, so we sent out not only the variable, but we also put their name on the back of every jersey and every email. So there was a lot of pushing going through in a short period of time, but now they're going through and they're looking at, so they're now introducing QR codes into their next campaign. They're coming back, so how do I make an individual QR code on the fly that gives them access just to their own Pearl? So, I mean, it's a very interesting thought process of generating the database that they can market with in the future. And that they saw that their own issue was. And they had had some experience, certainly with email, but they also knew that they needed the Pearl side of things. So when we were talking to them, we started showing them, hey, here's how you could get to step four very quickly. And I think that was one of the things that helped us win that business. It was interesting.
I have just two quick questions before you move to the next slide, Todd. And the first one is, how many variable data jobs are you doing on a monthly basis?
I would say probably 30% of our work.
Okay. And then do you have a specific email software provider that you use?
We come out of XMPie and we go through ExactTarget.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Not a problem. So in the next slide, some of the things to cover were the tools and what does our team really look like here at Findlay. So, we kind of talked about the actual software, leveraging XMPie from a web-to-print standpoint, integrating that with ProMail or warehousing operation standpoint. But I think what happens is having those two software packages tie together and talk to each other was important. Major undertaking, so worthwhile in the end. Great companies to work with. As far as our internal staff, and our internal staff is we listed as, having three IT people, but I think what the value that we bring is that I think everyone in our pre-press department understands how to put a campaign together. Everybody knows how to work in a template-based system. Everybody understands the data side to things. And yes, we have specialists that really key in on, it could be data list management, it might be variable imaging, those types of things. But so we're never caught off guard when we need to shift and move things around. Because I think our industry is one of the best, handling, running through with fire suits on to try to, how are we going to get this done? And everybody's shifting gears. And I think that's an important part, not to make this a one-man band, because as soon as you get a little bit busy, you choke yourself, and I think that's one of the things to really watch out for. So, but some of the things on the IT side, you have to be comfortable with data. You have to understand how to build a schema with a customer. You have to understand how to not to talk in ITEs along the way, so you educate your customer along the way and make sure that they feel, as that they're part of the process. And that's where, Barb mentioned the campaign brief. Any variable, campaign that we do, we have a very succinct understanding of what are our goals and what are we getting providing, What is our expectation, and what is the end goal for this? So as we see things along the way, any one of our team members may say, I don't think we're going to get to their end goal if we tackle this like this, because we're not going to either, one, get the data back, or two, I don't know if we have enough message in here to get the response. And you have to kind of make that as a, you know, it can't just be selling the job. It's got to be making it worthwhile. So the things that we thought were different, things that made the difference along the way, really having a proactive, you know, selling team. You know, and I think what happens is that, you know, we're showing things new, you know, every time we get in front of a customer. We're introducing new concepts. We're coming up with, you know, let's just have a brainstorming meeting. What if we could do this? Is that going to help the business? You know, and a lot of times it may not be going in to sell the postcard. It may be going in to say, how do we get the response? And the postcard's not the right answer. So, and we'll ask a lot of those questions. And I think that's it's a tough way to do it, but I think what happens is that we're selling relationships more than products. So I think that from our sales model, it works. Now, our sales team is very educated along the way. They've gone through the entire process. Everything is very wide open here. We do not have a separate team just to sell digital within this marketplace. But what we're trying to do along the way is ask the questions about that return on investment to the customer, and how do we know if it's a win? If it's a win for me and not for them, boy, that's not a win, is it? So we're kind of making sure that the sales team along the way can justify the application, understand where we're going to make some value-added points with the customer, but also, you know, do we have something that goes along the way? And to do that, we kind of went through the process of having to, you know, walk the talk, so to speak. And we have our own internal system that all of our salespeople order all their collateral through. It's all on demand. They can order up to a 6-foot banner if they want for the customer that outlines what we're doing in certain marketplaces. They may be ordering a campaign to go to a certain customer. It may, all their collateral material can be personalized for any presentation. And I think what happens is it starts us off being in the game even before we meet the customer, because we're making those decisions on which vertical are they in. You know, so it's part of our steps of sales as we go through each customer output, and then, but looking at what's really important to those customers. And I think that's one of the things that's made it very interesting for us to go through the process. But, you know, we're going to be leveraging all of our own technology to help our own business. And it makes us be a customer along the way. And sometimes you realize what it's like to feel like a customer before you actually talk to them, when you understand, hey, I'm not quite sure how to, you know, verbalize this. This is what I'm trying to get to. We've learned a great deal of internal information and communication within each department.
Well, Todd, that's great. We've got a few more questions, but I'm going to hold them, and I'm going to turn it over next to Kirk Larson so he can share his story about what they're doing at Graphic Partners. Kirk, take it away.
All right. Thanks, Barb. My name is Kirk Larson from Graphic Partners. We are we're an old-school printer way back when, since early 1900s. We've constantly had to evolve ourselves into essentially what we are now, which is basically there for the customer. So we've really tried to listen to the customer, try to figure out what they're trying to do with, you know, we know that the marketing budgets are smaller. We know that, you know, they're expecting a higher ROI and things like that. So in that process, we've really had to convert the company into more digital. We put in one of the very, we put in one of the very first DocuTechs when we had a systems press, like an old Multilith that would go into these towers and all that stuff. That thing was quirky at best. So we replaced it with a DocuTech, went through some true bleeding-edge technology at that time. I know everyone jokes around with the Indigo saying you need two of them. Well, the DocuTechs, you needed two of those, too, just to try to keep one up at all time. But, you know, as things evolved, everything's gotten better. You know, right now we don't use any more DocuTechs. We're on Digimasters. We use the Indigo. We use some wide format. And then we've got our large conventional presses all the way up to 40 inches. So we don't try to make one shoe fit all. It depends on what that customer need is. And right now it looks like it's more in these cross-marketing campaigns. Let me jump here. So our markets, we don't really focus on one vertical market. Most, we are in the Chicagoland area. So, you know, we do have the luxury of having a lot of Fortune 500, Fortune 100 companies up here with some nice marketing budgets that we are able to put together some nice campaigns for them. We, you know, we try to sit down. We have a couple meetings with what they are trying to get out of their results. Todd put it best, you know, it's that ROI factor, and everyone has a different determination on what ROI is. You know, some is by money, some is by true results, some is by responses, some is by actual sales at the end. So we sit down and we try to identify and try to mold the program to work with that. Most of these companies are using a lot of their own creative, their own lists, and we just coach them along the way on what we've experienced to work best. A lot of these companies have repurposed these campaigns, so we don't try to take for what we do with one person and try to make it work for somebody else. It just depends on what those needs are. As far as this, the solutions, you know, we are probably 60-40 offset to digital, and the reason of that is we do a lot of hybrid work where we print masters and we'll imprint those one color. That seems to be a good way to do that. We run all the variable just on black ink. On the Digimasters, we have three of those, and they run pretty much around the clock just doing imprinting on that. From there, they get folded and mold and mailed, sometimes as a single piece or sometimes into an envelope. The direct mail side is the place that we really see growing right now. People want one-on-one match mailings and things like that. That seems to be a big push right now. So the software we're using, we don't use XMPie, but we do use a bunch of other stuff. We have a lot of our homegrown stuff. We use Mindfire for the personalized URLs. We actually even use them for some of the email blasts that we do. We may use Constant Contact. We are using iWay for our print-on-demand system. That seems to kind of blend into these campaigns, too, where the folks want additional trigger pieces, and they want those personalized, too, instead of just sending out a static piece. They want that with that client's package or name on there, maybe for a welcome package and things like that. So we'll run that through iWay so we can do the personalization on that. The Direct Smile is a good program for the image personalization. That seems to be a hot topic over the last couple of years. And like Todd said, all the way down to print shop mail, which is our most simplistic way of doing variable data, where we might use somebody's name along with maybe for a gift card that would have that unique barcode that's imprinted on there so that they can take that. We have one gift card company we do, it's gift cards. We do over about a million gift cards a month on that type of thing using something as simple as print shop mail, just because they'll send us the database and all they need is the barcode in there that corresponds to that person.
Just a quick question that I did get, Kirk. Do you use different variable data software when you're dealing with black and white versus color? Or are the same tools used for both your Digimasters and your Indigo devices?
The Indigo, you know, like print shop mail and things like that, that's probably more over on the Digimasters. Not to say we can't run that through the Indigo, but for the full-on color variable, yeah, that's usually something a little different. We might even use something like HP's got a program. I forget what theirs is called. Somebody can refresh my memory, but it's a plug-in to the Adobe Creative Suite, and that works too. But the print shop mail, that's usually black and white type stuff. But even on like this gift card deal, that does run through the Indigo, and that does use print shop mail. I mean, it's something that it's a templated type piece, and there's no image variable in that. It's just name and barcodes. And oddly enough, the reason we got that order is because the other printer they're using, they couldn't figure it out. And here we figure it out with print shop mail. So, you know, sometimes you don't have to overbuild the monster, if you will.
Great. Thanks.
But as far as staffing, I'm with Todd on that. We have probably about three folks here that are traditional pre-press, as well as about another three that are just dedicated programmers, just to program these campaigns. So that might be the programmers are all MQC people, so that means we have to do all the NCOA, the CAS certifications. They have to go through all those procedural type things on that. And that seems to work well for us. And, you know, on the mailing end, like I said, it's just growing. I can't believe we put a new inserter in this last September, and over the last 3 months we put over 2 million pieces through it. It just...
Wow.
It's just unreal, and that's just on one new inserter. But, you know, and we will reach out to some external programs, too, if something's way over our head or if something it doesn't really fit these other programs. We do have some of these Fortune 100s that say, I want it to do it this specific way, and they're willing to pay for it. We'll bring in a programmer and have that program just for them.
Great.
Pearls are good. I mean, we use them. It's a tool in the toolbox. You know, a lot of people, I've seen some seminars and webinars and things like that just on Pearls. A Pearl in itself really doesn't do anything. I mean, it does have some value to where you're driving somebody to a web page and you're getting some level of measurability, but it's what you do with that is the important thing, at least in our world. Those trigger follow-ups, the reporting back to the mothership, if you will, the tracking, the sales, we'll get involved with their sales managers or district sales folks and say, okay, how can we leverage this information even on the non-responders? If they, let's say they even hit the page, we know that there was a level of interest there even if they didn't complete it. How do we address those folks? How do we keep the salespeople, their feet to the fire, to follow up on those guys? So we become almost an extension or consultant within their sales organization to try to help them keep these guys accountable, if you will. We do walk the walk, if you will. We put out some personalized calendars every year. We do a mailer. This year we put a QR code on there. The QR code is an interesting piece. It's more for us. It's just to get the information out there. We did do something with one of the local sports teams here in Chicago, and we put QR codes this year on all the posters. And then we put a unique generic URL that would go to, just so we could measure to see how successful a QR code is. We did get some. We actually got a better response rate than what we would have guessed of people scanning in this QR code on the poster. This year, we're going to try to expand that with the sports team to where each player has a QR code associated with their name in the program. So if somebody's at the game, they can scan that QR code and get the instant stats on that particular player. We'll see how that works.
I think that's pretty creative. We're seeing a lot more activity. Just an aside, I know Sears put in their catalog this year QR codes next to items so that people could link to the quick response codes to get more information on specific products.
Yeah, I think that they're a neat vehicle for the smartphones. Personally, I haven't figured a way to really make money at them yet. I think it's going to become a value add type thing where, you know, what I'm thinking of is you go to the grocery store and you walk through as you're exiting, you see all these little posters with the babysitter or whatever, and you pull off the little tag. Well, now we can just put a QR code on there, and that is kind of nice because for an event type poster, people can scan that in. They can go right to that web page or that landing page associated with that, and they can either get that same poster or they can get a deeper dive on what's going on with that event.
Right.
So that's good. And people, you know, they say, oh yeah, that's neat. Still haven't really figured. I think it's still early on in that. That will come about. Biggest campaigns or core challenges we have right now, jump over that, is we run into some of our folks that they want to reach out to 30 people, and they want to do a personalized URL type campaign for them. Well, you know, for the return on investment is not going to be that great on that no matter what, because you still have a lot of upfront type costs in building those landing pages, what they're trying to data mine. It might be even a registration page we've done for those. We've done about 70 or 80 of these types of campaigns, so there's always two or three in the house all the time. And it's just on the pieces that are more than 1,000, it seems like it works out okay. If it's under 1,000 records right now for us, I'm trying to tell them not to do it that way. Like, let's use a generic URL. We can use a personalized URL, but let's not do too crazy, because the cost to build all these pages and how many questions they want. Do they want to go through three pages? Do they want to go through five pages? What are they trying to accomplish? And it really, in my experience, just hasn't come out to be a positive thing as far as a cost relationship. So, you know, that's my two cents on that.
Yeah.
But if all those expectations are brought up front, you know, most campaigns go really well. The biggest things that we see is you do have to have a relevant offer if you expect a good response rate. If we've done testing both ways. We've tested campaigns where we'll do the same campaign with and without an offer, and we'll get double digits on an iPad or an iPod type offer, and get almost zero response rate on something that says, let me just set up a meeting with you. So kind of keep those things in mind when you're building and talking to your people on that. And just look for the opportunities. I mean, those are the biggest things. On the variable data, the print on demand, those types of things, that's the things that I find out. It's just find those opportunities. It could be your neighbor. It could be somebody you're talking with. You know, that's the thing. Rebranding, these companies, mergers and things like that, those are all good to look at. And then test it. You know, we use all these things in our own marketing efforts to provide that test, and that's usually what spawns these orders. And that's what I've got for you, Barb.
Well, Kirk, thanks, and I think that's good insight relative to, you know, and we had one of the people, I was just going to ask two quick questions of you. One of the folks asked, you know, Do you eat your own dog food? I think was the exact way that they mentioned it. And I think what you're saying is that what you're doing is you really are in it, between the catalog, the postcards, you really are in today's market actually walking the talk.
Oh, yes, and our customers, what we'll ask them to do is take a segment of their, we'll do a 250,000 piece mailing. We'll say, let's take 25,000 of those. Let's take just a small cut of those and add some other component in, and let's see how that performs to the rest of the audience. And that has spawned other larger programs, just doing little things like that.
That's great.
It's a good piece. So and we put that investment in. You know, we'll put the couple grand in to build that page just to say, you know, this is a good bet.
Great. Well, now I'm going to turn over to our last panelist, Craig Fallon, and he's the Chief Executive Optimizer at Gateway Digital Press. And again, very different in terms of where he started, and so I'm going to turn over to Craig and let him share the story at Gateway Digital, how they're leveraging variable data.
Thanks, Barbara. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to everybody today. It does appear that Todd and Kirk and I come from very different backgrounds when it comes into the types of customers that we serve and the businesses that we're in, which is good. I'm part of a much smaller outfit. We were founded about 29 years ago. We're in our 29th year as a family-owned business. We started as a small offset in offset printing company with very limited bindery capability, with two owners, which were mom and dad, and then one employee. Today, we made a decision to stay in the small format arena just because we dipped our toe in the larger print circles, and the margins were not there for us, and there was plenty of competition in the local St. Louis area. We thought we'd leave that to the big boys. So we do wide format. We also expanded our bindery capability, and we are a small letter shop, and we've been doing that for about 15 years. So staying with the small format output. When I say small format, I'm talking about a sheet size of about 14 by 20 and under is the circle that we want to play in. We specialize in four color solutions, either on the digital side through our Indigo Press or on the offset side. We have a DI that we've been using, and we also have a GTO that we'll run some full color in. All of our personalized solutions tend to run through either our Digimasters on the black and white side or the Indigo on the color side, and we'll get into a little bit more of that a little later. We also do some work for commercial printers and print brokers, and they are among the largest customers that we service. So a lot of these big boys with 40-inch presses who've just decided that digital really wasn't right for them or looking at it, we're kind of a nice step for them as they look at getting into the digital arena. And many of these guys I just don't think are gonna go down that road because I think it just doesn't fit what their skill set is. So they become some of our best customers. Let's see here. Okay, our customer mix of variable data is pretty wide. We do a lot of business with nonprofits, with schools, universities, and colleges. We also do a fair amount of work in the automotive and financial sectors. Most of our clients tend to be very small businesses of just a couple of people to, I would say, 150 employees. So we're not doing a lot of business with Fortune 500 companies. It's just isn't something that we have in our marketplace that we service many of those clients. So we're dealing with smaller companies with smaller marketing budgets and smaller marketing personnel, and that's something that we work with some of the marketing folks relatively closely to help them with delivering their message to their clients. What we found is that we really think that every client can benefit from personalizing their message to their audience. When we started in this, it was all about just static images. I mean, that's what we produced on the press offset side, of course, and then digital. We did everything with static images, and what we see is that those images are eroding very rapidly because people have these multifunctional devices. They could do their own print on demand, and so there really was a need for us to put some value added into the stuff that we're printing. We need to have some personalization and those types of things where we can justify charging more to do this kind of work. And so we basically backed into doing personalization probably around 2001 as we've started to see a real decline in static images, both on the black and white side and on the color side. We use a modified PDF workflow or a PDF-based workflow, which we like because most of our clients are creating their own artwork, and we've trained them how to give us a PDF file, or if they give us something that we use, we bring this into PDF, and then whether we print it on the offset side or on the digital side, we're using a PDF workflow. Software that we're using is PrintShop Mail, which we've got multiple licenses of. We originally had started with a Xerox VIPP program, which we had had for a while, and we outgrew that in favor of something that was not proprietary. So PrintShop Mail was something we started with and felt that we would grow out of at some point in time, but we've expanded a lot of what we've been able to do and just still haven't found enough a reason to move on to something else. And we made a decision to get multi-user licenses on our PrintShop Mail programs because we have a couple of people now who produce this. And for the types of work that we do, it's a great fit because it handles – we've been working with the Intelligent Mail barcode, and a lot of the stuff that we do ends up in the mail, and it really was a good fit to handle these solutions elegantly. So we never really moved out of PrintShop Mail, and it served our needs very well. We've been with Mindfire for 3 years now. I myself am a certified campaign manager with Mindfire. We have also used a couple of other software as a service providers. Recently, probably about 18 months ago, we moved into variable imaging through a plugin that we use through PrintShop Mail called Direct Smile, which probably about 50% of the stuff that we're doing now is variable image. And partly because most of the things that we're doing for our own promotion have to do with variable imaging, and that tends to get a lot of that tends to get noticed. We did our first QR code campaign just using static QR codes this past year. We're looking to do something with a dynamic QR code later on, but at this point, we've dipped our toe in the QR market and see a bright future for that type of technology. As I'd mentioned, we do all of our color output on an Indigo 3500, which we've had for about a year and a half. Prior to that, we were using color laser printers, and I mean, these weren't anything that was robust or would knock your socks off to look at. These were 65 page per minute color devices. We de-emphasized color. We didn't think it really mattered that much, and we emphasized what could we bring to the page or to the campaign. So we didn't pay that much attention to the output device as we did to what we were putting on paper. And as I mentioned, not long ago, we moved to the Indigo, and certainly love that product. Our staff consists of basically two people who create variable data campaigns, and then four coordinators who know the basic flavors of what we do with regard to variable data. When I say basic flavors, I think there are many flavors of variable data, like there are many flavors of web to print. Different technologies mean different things to different people, but we do provide a fair amount of training for our four coordinators, and they get familiar with how to inform our clients about the basics of that, and then when we get into people who have more interest, then we move them into my direction, or we have another creator on staff.
Craig, I do have a question for you. One of the people that was out in the audience said, you know, you deal with smaller businesses. When you're doing that, what's the average record count that you deal with on a variable type campaign?
Well, we're on the low end of things. I would say that the sweet spot for what we do is between 250 records and 20,000 records. But I would say the mean in there is probably around 2,000.
Okay.
So, and for that, print shop mail is a very inexpensive alternative that handles that kind of even if you're doing variable imaging, which can tend to create a much larger file. It handles those solutions very well.
Great.
We actually, since we got the Indigo, I think Kirk was referencing SmartStream Designer, which is the HP tool that does variable, and that is a really nice application. We just haven't found the need to move beyond where we're at, but it is a nice application that works very well with the Indigo solution.
Okay, great, thanks.
A couple examples of some of the work that we've done. We did a campaign for Lexus here in St. Louis, and these are personalized postcards. And we do these for the sales on the sales side of the house and also on the service side of the house. We're able to basically use conditional statements to put the salesperson, a salesperson that goes to a who serviced a client at one point, maybe bought a vehicle from them, with a personalized message and a conditional statement which puts that recipient with the salesperson who sold them the card. We also do the same type of thing on the service end of it, just to keep the salesperson in touch with the person who bought the car from them down the line. Lexus provides us with the data. Their data happens to be pretty good in that we have the information we need to pull the salesperson and even the type of car that they bought. They provide us with those pictures as well. So we can give them the right brand of car that they purchased, and then some of the personalized the guy who helped them sell them the car. So that's one example of a postcard mailing that we've done. We just finished one using variable imaging for a church here, and this wasn't anything that was that sophisticated. Essentially, what they wanted is a picture of the steeple of their church and a personalized image with a verse from a passage that they wanted. And then basically we put these on a refrigerator magnet that we ran in the Indigo. This was a small order. I think it was about 750, but what we reference is this has had huge margin in it because they fell in love with the design, and the magnets were really easy to buy and run. We ran these six up on a 12 by 18 sheet and cut them, and they were a huge margin opportunity, and we got a very favorable response. The most recent one, actually this is still going on now, is we had a company who a year ago we did our own version of a variable image calendar, and this was something that we used DirectSmile for. This calendar that we did, we handed out to our clients, and it had 13 images on it of St. Louis Arch and various other things that we had done, and that went over really well. Well, somehow somebody out in San Diego, California, got their hands on this, and they asked us if we would be interested in building this for them for their nonprofit organization, which we said fine. We actually ended up building a website for them. It's called calendarsforacure.com, which you could go there right now and you could place an order for a calendar. You can actually download this, learn a little bit more about Cure Duchenne, which is a terrible disease, and order a calendar online. Now, the beauty of this is, and when you go to the site, you'll see for sure that we're not in the web design business. But we did create a working website that allows customers to pay for this online and submit their data, send it to us, and we'll print it here in the Indigo, and send it back to them within just a couple of days. The Cure Duchenne people like it because basically it's turnkey; they don't have to do anything, and we cut them a check at the end of the month for whatever we sell in sales. So this was a very popular end of year promotional tool, and we basically got this client just from doing our own, or as I say, drinking our own Kool-Aid. So we promoted our business, and somebody found it and said, "Hey, could you do this for us?" And it turned out to be a really good fit. A little bit about return on investment. What we're doing because I think it offers puts us in a position of being a value-added service provider. We can pitch a unique solution, and it personalizes a person's message based on data. We can collect information and respond to customer interest in real time using a Pearl if we choose to go that route. We can measure campaign response using a Pearl, which we've done in the past, and they've had pretty good success in terms of just giving people much more information than they've ever had. That brings up an interesting challenge in that in the past when we were basically printing and mailing something out there, we didn't get a whole lot of feedback. Now that we had access to all of this information, in the beginning, we really didn't know what to do with it because we didn't have any kind of repository to collect this information and to put it into the database and that type of thing. And I'm talking about even our own homegrown campaigns. We could collect this abundance of new information, and we had to figure out where do we store this? How do we file this, and so we can retrieve it for our next campaign? And that became something a little bit of a challenge for us because we really just hadn't thought of it in those terms. You know, you print something up, you stick it out in the mail, and when people respond, they respond, and you weren't getting what I would call the warm leads or the people who were maybe not ready to respond yet, but you didn't know who those people were. So. That became something that we had to learn how to tailor our pitch to saying, hey, it's not just the people who respond, it's the people using a Pearl or whatnot that you could, if they weren't ready to talk to a sales rep as a hot lead, but they could download a white paper or something that would be more of a warm lead. You wanted to know who those people were, and you wanted to be able to at least give them something that really fit where they were at in the sales cycle. And we liked using a Pearl for that type of campaign. As I mentioned a little bit, we've done a little bit with QR codes. We haven't done anything with SMS yet, but we know the technology is available, and Mindfire has been good about informing us of some of these new developments with text messaging and those types of things. The biggest thing for us had been that we wanted to get away from being one-dimensional and selling things for the lowest price. It was a problem, and margins erode, and we're very conscious of trying to maintain margin where we could. Lindsay Gray used something called who's a LinkedIn partner of mine or friend of mine, who uses something he calls return on objective. And return on objective, as opposed to return on on investment is something that I like to talk to our clients about. I know we're running a little bit short on time, so let me see if I can just kind of summarize. The most important thing I would tell anybody who's looking at this is to begin. When we started, we were not doing anything very sophisticated, but it was important for us to get started and to just take baby steps to get into this, get in with the right application and define roles clearly. For us, you need to have somebody who creates this, somebody who knows something about data, and you've got to have somebody who knows enough about this to be able to sell this. And you need to have those roles defined because those become really the key to your success here. Somebody's got to be able to build it. Somebody's got to be able to sell it. And that's a key part in defining roles. Last thing I would tell you is that the whole idea of a printer becoming a marketing service provider is quite a bit of a leap for some folks, and it certainly would be for us. We weren't trying to become a marketing service provider. We don't provide any research. We don't provide any strategy. But it's something that we're moving into. So we had to look at ourselves as this is a baby step into moving into more marketing-oriented work that would allow us to become more of a value-added service provider, and that's how we got started. But my recommendation is to begin.
Hey, thanks, Craig, and I really appreciate it. And hopefully you've enjoyed our panelists. I want to leave you with a couple just quick final thoughts, and we'll get back to some of you that have questions. But Albert Einstein, I think, summed up when he said, you know, it's not that I'm so smart. It's just that I stay with problems longer. And I think what you've heard from our three panelists is that they understood, recognized the opportunity with variable data, and said, hey, I'm going to get in, and I'm going to stick with it. And so what I would leave everybody with is there's a good set of basics for the campaign. I think you heard this from all of our panelists. It's the right list. It's timing. It's multiple ways to respond. It's testing. It's ROI. And I think what you also heard is that what they've done in terms of their business is they've looked for the right target markets. They've built out a service portfolio that's commensurate with their skills. They've built and developed their sales team, built out an appropriate IT infrastructure based on where they are in the evolution of their businesses, defined a solid value proposition, and they've all found a way to communicate return on investment to their customers. I'd like to thank all of you for joining us today. And, you know, again, we'll get to questions that we didn't have an opportunity to discuss with you. We'd also appreciate it if you take a minute to fill out our feedback survey. Thanks, and have a great rest of the day.